RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, Steve, you ready to roll?
Ready to roll. Let's go. Let's
do it. I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain. The only
Republic
thing
Broadcasting Network. Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Talk with John here on Saturdays, here on Republic Broadcasting on Saturdays from 3 to 5 Mountain Time and 4 to 6 Central. And let's throw in Eastern Time Zone for who's joining me right now, 5 to 7. You can tune in and join this show here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I really am looking forward to this show. I intended about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, to do a very heavy 9/11 and what we learned there. We may be we're changing from that because of who I'm going to be having join me today. So first of all, joining me, host, you all know him, you all love him, Steve Elkins. He's on Sunday evenings. He's joining me. He's going to be riding shotgun throughout the show. And then we're going to have some guests. They're doing a health symposium in Utah that I mentioned last week. And they're doing it still. It is happening today. And I was able to meet a few of them. I was able to meet Dr. McCullough in person last night. We're going to have a few others joining me. So Sam is going to let us know when we have them joining in. But let me, right at the moment, let's get this show off to a proper start. It is September 11th, 2021. It's the first hour of the show. And I'm going to do my show intro. No need to, I'm going to give you my show prayer. It's the prayer of my heart when it comes to my show. I hope my show is a gift back to my forefathers, the founding fathers. May it be an acceptable token to our Father above. Then the show mantra. Where there is liberty, there is the Spirit of Christ. Where the Spirit of Christ is, there will be liberty. And the greater the Spirit of Christ, the greater liberty will be. That's my show mantra. I'm a firm believer that Article 7 of the Constitution spoke to Jesus Christ being the Lord of this land, and I think when we invoke his name, we get his help. But it's not necessarily, this is not necessarily a show that is heavy religious very often. Every once in a while it might be, but today we're gonna talk about your health freedom, keeping our health free, and keeping our constitutions, physical constitutions, free, and what we need to do to stand up for that. So, Steve,
yes,
thank
sir.
You for joining me. Appreciate you being here, brother.
Yeah, it's been, this is number four for the week. I have never done this much radio in 1 week, but I'm happy to be here.
How does it feel to do four in a week?
This has been an emotional week for me. If you heard my broadcast with John Stadmiller last night, I skipped my jazz show. I do a jazz show on Friday nights and I skipped it. I was down kind of the dumps. John said, this is good therapy. Come out and vent on the show. And I did so, and it did help. It was very therapeutic, but these are very, very hard times right now. I mean, I'm in the medical field. My wife is, and people are all saying, you know, the corporations are coming down saying, take this or you're fired. Well, that's extortion. As far as I'm concerned, that's economic extortion here. And, you know, I think you know how I feel about taking an experimental messenger RNA vaccine, which is not a vaccine, it's a shot inoculation. So I don't want to be a trial subject. And so we're working on some legal things here to, in my end, to make sure this doesn't happen. And we'll see where we end up here.
Okay, Steve, if you'll bear with me for a second, I'm going to let you take over for just a moment. I have just gotten a note that Dr. Peter McCullough was on with us and dropped off, and I have just got a phone number.
Sure.
Steve, will you verify that this is his number, and please call him at that for me?
Okay.
That'd be, or not Steve, Sam, I apologize.
Sam. Yeah, I got the number over here, too.
Sam, if you can make that phone call, that'd be fantastic. All right. So it's looking like we're going to have Dr. McCullough joining us here in just a moment. And Steve and I have talked a couple times this week. Yeah. And you came, you said, John, I've got a few questions, some questions that maybe he's never been asked, and or at least not in any of his videos. So I'm like, okay, let's let you ask him. Let's let you get to it. I've got a bunch that I want to ask, but I'm gonna let the ER nurse, the registered ER nurse of 28 years, ICU and ER nurse of 28 years. I'm going to let the novice myself step out of the way and let him make some of those or ask some of those questions as soon as we get him on. So let's go here, Steve. What are a couple of things that you're you know what? Let's just get there to it. Dr. Peter McCullough is joining us right now. Dr. Peter McCullough, I am thoroughly grateful that you are willing to join us here on Talk with John, Republic Broadcasting Network, and riding shotgun with me today, I have Steve Elkins. He's a 28-year ICU and ER nurse. And am I saying that correct, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, Peter McCullough, I met you last night. You were so gracious. You were at a gala. Everybody was dressed up and looking sharp. And there I was in shorts and a football shirt, looking like a schmuck. I felt like a fish out of water, but I had to meet you in person. I couldn't let that opportunity slide by. I had to tell you thank you.
I tell you, you look like you're a man for action last night. Hopefully your team did well.
Yeah, they didn't. So the team that I was going to support was my son. I was a little league coach for those guys for many years, and we went up against a school that was two levels. We're a 2A school, and they're a 4A school, and we got treated like a 2A school against a 4A school. But let's not get into that any further. I just want to say thank you for joining us. You are at the My Health, Your Health Symposium, yourhealthfreedom.org, and you thought it was important enough to spend your time to go there. Out to some place in Utah and meet with a group of people not necessarily you'd met before. I'm going to ask you, why did you decide to do that?
Well, it's a very multidisciplinary meeting that's addressing really a wide range of issues in the COVID-19 pandemic, from health and fitness, nutrition, psychological health, and then issues that directly deal with the infection itself, including early treatment to avoid hospitalization and death, and then the data regarding both vaccine safety and efficacy.
So, Dr. Peter McCullough, if we can, our audience is very familiar with you. Anybody in this audience that doesn't know who you are, maybe they're turning in for the first time, and I'm not super concerned about that. We'll bring them up to speed. You're an internist, cardiologist, and professor of medicine. And so...
Yeah, but just to clarify, I've been stripped of all professor of medicine status now. So I'm a practicing internist and cardiologist. I'm a trained epidemiologist. I am an academic physician, but I also see patients in my practice. I'm in a big academic medical center in Dallas, Texas, and I actively edit two major medical journals and have my scholarship contributions each year. But I, over the last 18 months, have been really focused on COVID-19. I've led some early treatment groups, have over 45 publications in the peer-reviewed literature on COVID-19, and have been privileged to really give my opinion to many different entities and to the American people at large through U.S. Senate testimony, and I'm a regular contributor on Fox News.
Well, let's just get into some questions that we have for you. So, Steve, you've got a couple questions. I'm going to let you kind of take the lead.
It's a privilege and honor to be speaking with you, Dr. McCullough. I enjoy all the videos you've put out, very educational, very informative, and I thank you for your courageousness to take on this. I know there's a lot of blowback on this here, taking on these people that are forcing their will on us and the false propaganda, the fear propaganda that's coming our way. And there's a lot of people that are very just misinformed. And you're a breath of fresh air. So I just want to say thank you for coming on. I appreciate talking to you. But let's start off first with your symposium there. I actually spent some time in Utah, Salt Lake, and down in Provo. But your symposium, I hope it's being recorded, and it will be posted on BitChute, will it not?
I'm pretty sure it will. The technology here looks terrific. The audience is really engaged. It's a large audience, and the meeting looks very well supported. So I'd certainly come back next year if they had it.
Good. Well, let's start with the first question I got for you here. And I follow a lot of people. I follow Dr. Mercola. You probably know of him. Paul Craig Roberts, John Rappaport. These are very distinguished men, very good investigative journalists and physicians. And I want to start off first with, in your videos, you talk about this messenger RNA experimental vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It's experimental. It's inoculation. It's a shot. Because we're finding out now, it does not prevent you catching the virus at all. We're seeing single doses. We're seeing double vaccinated, and they're coming into the hospital, our hospital down here. They're very, very sick. You know, we talked about spike proteins. You may want to talk about antibody-dependent enhancement. I understand all that. But my question to you first off is, because John Rappaport has gone this direction, I think Dr. Mercola has also, saying, first of all, it has never been isolated. SARS-CoV-2 has never been isolated. Let's put a rest to that. Has it or has it not been isolated?
You know, I think that question is one that's been bantered about. But clearly there have been experiments where fluid that contains SARS-CoV-2 has been inoculated with human immortal cell lines to evaluate infectivity and viral replication. And so I accept that as an isolation equivalent. You know, viral cultures themselves are nearly impossible to do for any virus. So we use inference, but it's been fully sequenced. We clearly have established in vitro models for infectivity. So I take the virus as being a real entity.
Okay. Okay, so then going into the antibody-dependent enhancement, which means it would lead to the different variants, they're, you know, in the hospital here, they're saying you just have COVID. They're not saying there's no documentation. Is it the Delta variant? It's simply saying coronavirus, it's COVID-19. That's what makes me kind of, you know, scratch my head on saying isolated or non-isolated, because now they're saying that there's a different variant out there, the Delta variant, but again, they're not putting it down in their documentation in the hospital. So that was if there is such a thing as antibody dependent enhancement, then there are variations. There are different variants of the virus, correct?
Sure. Let me clarify. So the tests, the nasal PCR test or the antigen test, they are as diagnostic aids for acute COVID-19. So the PCR is detecting a small fragment of RNA that typically codes for the polymerase. The antigen is actually testing for the presence of the nucleocapsid, or the ball of the virus. The sequencing is done with what's called next-generation sequencing, and the whole virus can be sequenced, but they're done in labs at the Department of Community Health and research labs. They're not commercially available, like through Roche or Quest or LabCorp. There is one commercially available approved sequencing test that could actually tell you this, but it's by Dr. Sin, but it's not available. It's not scalable yet to do that. So, but what we know is the CDC, as well as the United Kingdom, are putting out reports just about every 2 weeks from Departments of Community Health about what we have. And what we know by the end of August in the United States, we're 99.1% Delta. Okay, so the Delta is the most mutated form of the virus. The next patient who has COVID-19 that you hear about in your circles, I can tell you it's Delta. We don't have to do a special test for it. It's just Delta is the dominant strain because the Delta variant has figured out how to live with and infect those who have taken the vaccine.
Okay. Next line of question here is about those taking the actual shots, number one, number two, and boosters, if they're getting boosters yet at this time. We're told that looks like there's a possibility, or is it 100% confirmed? Are the vaccinated people, are they shedding the virus? And if they are, other than just avoiding people that have been vaccinated, which is pretty hard to do in your workplace because some of the people in the healthcare industry have taken it, and, of course, patients have taken it, and so you're around them. So are they indeed shedding the virus, those vaccinated?
The vaccinated are likely shedding the spike protein, so not the entire virus, but the pathogenic spike protein, the 1,200 amino acid protein, that is the protein product of the messenger RNA or the adenoviral DNA. This shedding probably occurs for at least 2 weeks during the first period of circulatory spike protein dissemination in the body, and that is referenced by a paper by Ogata et al. The Chinese have shown us that the virus, and almost certainly the spike protein, ends up in almost all secretions in the human body. So as a general principle, someone who's freshly vaccinated within the first month, if they have close contact, such as kissing or sexual intercourse, they probably could interchange or spread the spike protein to someone else. And that could have a manifestation that could make the recipient feel sick. There's been reported changes at menses. There have been reported cases of expressed secondary infections like herpes, zoster virus infection. So shedding occurs from the spike protein from the vaccine, but it's not actually spreading the virus. Now, those who get the vaccine can get the virus at a higher risk rate after the first injection, and that's been shown in the Pfizer briefing booklet to the U.S. FDA, as well as reports out of Israel and France.
Okay. There seems to be a trend. We were told this a while back. There's a trend now in the in pharmaceutical industry here to push for – it seems like everything is going to go in the – direction of DNA manipulation, modification, the messenger RNA. I just saw a commercial the other day for HIV. They're looking at messenger RNA HIV vaccines, and also for RSV for children. It appears to be that's the way they go in the future. But in your videos, you talked about the messenger RNA, of course, going down to the level of the DNA, the modifier, the, you know, kind of updates and changing things. And the boosters are actually kind of the updates. Number two shot and number three, and then the updates with the boosters, I guess. But the point I'm making that I want to ask is, with the messenger RNA, that's experimental, totally experimental, never been done before. The animal studies all turned out miserable. They all died when re-exposed to the pathogen itself. So, you know, when your animal subjects die, that's not a good thing to go into human trial studies, because that's exactly what people are now, the human trial studies. But the question I have for you is, why did they never sold it, why they went away from the traditional method of making a vaccine? Of course, it takes 8 to 10 years or more to do a vaccine. Why did they leave the live attenuated virus? They never seemed to answer that question, why they didn't go to the traditional method of making a vaccine. Why did they go the experimental route way?
Well, you know, to my knowledge, I've seen at least one review paper where there's 27 different vaccines in development or commercially out there. There is a killed whole virus vaccine, which is the Sinovac or CoronaVac vaccine, and it turns out it's just not reactogenic or immunogenic enough, and so it gives almost no protection, the Sinovac or CoronaVac vaccine. The only thing it seems to have done is promote the dominance of a variant, and that's in a paper by Arcevedo out of Peru has shown that with the Lambda variant, and then we have pretty good data out of Mashura, India, suggesting that vaccination with the Sinovac or Corona vaccine, that's actually what sparked the Delta outbreak. But the idea that we could vaccinate against the common cold has always been thought to be impossible. Even Linus Pauling said that. Don't try to vaccinate against the common cold. It's just that the coronaviruses are difficult to form a vaccine against. In this case, what we had is we had the coronavirus, but we had an antigenic target, which was the spike protein on the surface. So the idea here is to skip live attenuation, skip whole inactivated, and just go ahead and go against the antigenic target, the spike protein. And when it was discovered early on that it could be neutralized with antibodies, then the race was on to just have a spike protein target. You mentioned messenger RNA and adenoviral DNAs. Vaccines. These are genetic vaccines where we have all the complications. But the Novavax vaccine, which is a purified spike protein vaccine, that looks every bit as good as Pfizer and Moderna. It is a low dose of a purified spike protein in a matrix. It's by a company, Novavax, U.S. company, looks great. In my view, it's probably going to be infinitely safer than current vaccines. I'd like to see a full push ahead to get Novavax into commercial use in the United States.
Okay, what do you know about the Russian version for the COVID-19 virus here, the Sputnik? I think 1 and 2, those are more on the level of the live attenuated virus, the normal pathway. What do you know about those two shots?
Those two, I saw a recent review that again they look almost like CoronaVac. They almost look completely ineffective. That's the problem.
Let's finish answering that question on the other side of the break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
I think you're crazy.
John here on KBJA AM 1640. We're talking here on, or no, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just did that. I gave my normal weekday show. So this is Republic Broadcasting Network, and it is Saturday. You can join me here on Saturdays, and I've got Steve Elkins joining me, riding shotgun, as well as I have Dr. Peter McCullough joining me. He's at Your Health Freedom. It's a symposium. And it's being held here in Utah, where Dr. Peter McCullough is a headline speaker at it. So you were talking about natural immunity. So before you hit that, I have been in this week several conversations with people that are vaccinated. They're like, John, you need to go out and get vaccinated. I said, I already had COVID-19. I already had the virus. And they're like, but you need to get vaccinated so you're safe from Delta. Let's just hit natural immunity and how that plays into it, Dr. McCullough.
We have millions and millions of people in the United States who have had COVID-19. So many of your listeners have had COVID-19. Probably a third of people at this conference have had COVID-19. They have robust, complete, and durable immunity. They have a negligible chance of ever getting the virus again. We have to start behaving like it's one and done. Do you know that we're locking down nursing home residents who have had COVID-19, they've survived it, and now we're penalizing them with more lockdowns when someone else gets sick on their unit? This is unconscionable that we are doing this to one another. We are treating COVID recovered patients so they can get it again. For instance, they have to take a test before they go on long airplane flights. Why? They can't get COVID a second time. We don't need to test them. We're having them wear masks in various places. Why? They can't get the virus and they can't receive it. COVID recovered patients need a gold passport. Forget a green passport. They got a gold passport. COVID recovered people are the safest people to be around. Do you know that our military does not know who's COVID recovered? They need an inventory of COVID recovered so they know who to be on the Delta Force. Do you know the NFL doesn't know who's COVID recovered? How can they figure out who's on the A team and the B team for next week? It's only COVID recovered who are not going to get COVID-19 again. I can't pound this into Americans' brains enough. COVID recovered means you can't get it again. These are the best people to be around. They have no public health threat whatsoever.
Okay, so Dr. McCullough, I'm gonna jump in on that one. So Cam Newton, one of the most well-known quarterbacks in all the NFL, probably almost as well-known as Tom Brady, was cut from a team because he didn't want to go through COVID protocols when he had COVID last year. And he wouldn't go through the COVID protocols, and they wanted to test him to make sure whether he had it or not right now.
There is an absolute overreach on asymptomatic testing. The college teams and pro teams have been doing this. I can tell you, the FDA has not approved a single test use for asymptomatic testing, people with no symptoms. It's against the FDA regulations to do that. The tests are only to be used in acutely sick people who we think have COVID-19. The World Health Organization agrees. June 25th, the World Health Organization said, stop all this asymptomatic testing. That means immediately the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, the college teams, the colleges, the high schools, the public building, the travel, they need to stop all this testing of people who are well. All it does is generate false positives and screw up people like Cam Newton.
All right. So but here's the problem. We're being told all over the place from the Dr. Fauci's of the world, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, because a cardiovascular surgeon, you know, you were no slouch in school, especially in medical school, but makes me wonder, how well did Dr. Fauci do? Because he's telling us new science all over the place, and frankly, he can't make up his mind on old science. It's been shared with me by more than one person. All COVID kind of behaves in... You know how it's going to behave. That's why we knew to go to some of the different treatments that we've used that Donald Trump talked about, and I forget the Jewish physician talked about, and you've spoken about.
I can tell your audience, I am a board-certified internal medicine doctor. I'm also board-certified in cardiovascular disease. I'm not a surgeon, but I maintain these boards. In fact, they have a lifespan of every 10 years, so I'm in my fourth decade of being continuously board-certified in internal medicine. I see and examine patients every day. I see COVID patients, and I know how to treat them. That is vastly different than what an American is seeing on TV. I am probably the only media doctor that you would see on a major station that actually knows what COVID-19 is. I know what the lungs sound like. I know how sick people get. I've had people in my family get COVID. I've had COVID myself. America needs teams of qualified doctors like myself or more qualified to lead us forward in the pandemic response. We cannot have people leading America who've never seen COVID and don't fully understand what they're dealing with, let alone not have the qualifications to fully interpret data and make decisions regarding treatment and prevention of the illness. This is critically important. Doctors need to work in teams. We have not seen teams of American doctors in front of the country working through issues, you know, driving consensus on problems. We have no consensus-driven decision-making right now. It is basically, in a sense, a medical dictatorship. And I said that on Laura Ingraham a few weeks ago, and that's probably the reason why I haven't been invited back on.
Probably right. May I backtrack just real quick here, Dr. McCullough? You mentioned asymptomatic, and I went to school at Indiana University, which is a pretty dang good med school. In my virology classes, in my microbiology classes, and I was a pretty good student in those classes, never heard of such a thing as an asymptomatic spreader or asymptomatic infectious person, which we understand the flaws of the, you know, the PCR testing that it will identify a coronavirus, but, you know, there's lots of coronaviruses out there. It was not a very good system to be, and it definitely wasn't going to identify or isolate and tell you that you had the SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19. So keeping that in mind, you know, if you get the flu, you have a fever, by golly, you're infectious, you stay home from work or school, from the office, because now you are infectious. And it's this whole thing of being asymptomatic, feeling great, walking around feeling great, and so you came up positive on a PCR test, which was probably a false positive. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that? Because am I wrong? Did I learn wrong in school? Is there such a thing as an asymptomatic infectious person?
No, there isn't. And fortunately, you're right. Your intuition is right. I use a great medical school. I went to Southwestern, just kind of behind IU in the rankings, but I finished AOA, so I did pay attention and knew what I was doing in medical school and from that point forward. And I can tell you that two very good papers, one by Cao and one by Madewell, have studied this in over 10 million people. The virus is not spread in people without symptoms. If you can find somebody who truly has the virus up in the nose and the mouth, and they have no symptoms, they can't spread it. They're actually forming immunity to it. That's the reason why it's so ridiculous to try to find the virus in a college athlete who feels perfectly well. If people feel well, they don't need masks, and they don't need to be tested. Conversely, if people are sick, different story. People who are sick need to get themselves out of public places, get on a mask, and get home. And what we need is we need smart, sick kid, sick student, and sick adult policies. That's going to go a lot farther than policies that is trying to overtest people and try to put masks on people. You can imagine if we just followed the principles that you outlined, you know how much more straightforward America would be. Our schools would have been open. We wouldn't have had all this wasted time on masks, and we wouldn't have wasted money on 400 million tests that we didn't need to do.
Right. Exactly. I agree.
We wouldn't have, unfortunately, the government wouldn't have the control over us now that they do. Just this wonderful, loving control that they now have on us, like Australia, that they're trying to get us to head to. I would so miss that, Dr. McCullough and Steve. I would miss it terribly.
Agree.
Well, listen, you mentioned the idea of you kind of brought it up, but you didn't say it. And that is this all about COVID or not? Let me give you a little vignette. Some friends of mine in my circles were meeting with some key people down in Puerto Rico this last weekend, and they took a long-haul flight. And the big deal is you had to get a test to get on the flight to go to Puerto Rico. But they offered another option, is that you could skip the test if you just were willing to pay $300 more.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so
well,
let me tell you, is this about public health?
They're going to stick you in the wheel well if you want to fly there.
No, what I'm saying is this about COVID-19?
Yeah,
really?
Right.
Or is this about something
like
else? So you can opt out if you pay $300?
Amazing.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, agree.
Okay, so
now,
I'm going
to John, if I can ask another question real quick here to the doctor. Your contact, do you have a good contact with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for the Children's Health Defense and with frontline doctors, Dr. Simone and other doctors? Are you talking to on the legal part of talking to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., our legal, where we stand right now legal-wise as far as stopping these mandates from, or the employers is saying, if you don't, this medical extortion, this employment extortion, if you don't take the shot, the vaccine, you are fired. Where are we legal-wise in that whole thing?
To my knowledge, I think we have about 3 million attorneys in the United States. And I got to tell you, I think the vast majority are on the sidelines, and they just are not recognizing what's going on. We need a giant legal force, just like we need a giant medical force to take on issues in the pandemic. One of the reasons why the lawyers have not gotten into it is there's no signs right now that there's fairness. So in order to have any type of legal strength, we need to have fairness in the courts, which we normally do have for civil and criminal proceedings, but we don't have it right now. It doesn't appear as if we have fairness, meaning that there's no signs that anything reasonable can go on. So, like, for instance, Jim Bopp he took on the IU mandate case, and there was no fairness. They said, listen, forget it. We don't care if the kids put the kids at risk, vax them. They said they don't care. And we've seen this down the Houston Methodist case. Jared Woodfill took on Houston Methodist. They had fired nurses and people who had allergies. They couldn't take the vaccines if you paid them. And the bottom line is they said, fire them. And so there doesn't appear right now to be any fairness. Now, attorneys are picking it up. Probably the most notable suit is attorney Tom Rentz. He's filed a temporary restraining order to halt the vaccine program based on an estimated 45,000 Americans that have died after the vaccine. That's right, using extrapolation from the CMS data. So, I mean, people are working on it. And, yes, Bobby Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy is doing a terrific job with the Children's Health Defense Fund. They're suing Pfizer to get off the market because of the fraudulent FDA meeting on August 23rd, where Pfizer was not approved by the FDA. There are other a myriad of other lawsuits ongoing. Tom Rentz has filed a lawsuit to put a temporary restraining order against childhood vaccination, where there's no clinical support for vaccinating a child, and we have a tremendous number of safety concerns. So people are trying to use the legal instruments, but until we get a win, as soon as there's a single win in a court case that's durable and impactful, then I think the floodgates will open. A whole bunch of attorneys will come off the sidelines. But you know, attorneys, they're only going to go after it when they smell money.
Right. So let me throw this in. I have a very good friend who's considered one of the a very top legal mind. And he goes, I've had many people in the legal field say, when I mention his name, people know him, and they're like, yeah, this guy's one of the top people. He goes, John, I walk into a courtroom. I have to be masked. In some areas, we may have to be vaccinated. He goes, right at that point, you're already behind the eight ball. It's almost assumed that you're not going to finish.
Well, sure. I mean, there's not going to be any fairness. If you have a court where they have to be masked and wear vaccines, how can you possibly go on a court case to fight mask mandates or fight vaccine mandates? You can see the corruption is widespread, and the ability to get fairness on anything is limited. That's the reason why I have a view that we really have to do what you're doing right now on this station, is we have to take information to the people. And it's going to be the will of the people here that ultimately is going to save America. It's not going to be the courts, not going to be the doctors, and it's certainly not going to be branches of government.
Good stuff there. Quick question here, Dr. McCullough. I really didn't. When I saw the FDA had given approval, of course, it was for something totally different. And I think there's a little bit of a bait and switch going on here, because if I go to the hospital now, if I wanted to take the shot, which I wouldn't, but if I said, give me the Pfizer COVID shot here, they would give me the old stuff, which is the experimental, which was under the emergency use authorization vaccine. It would not be the other one that was given approval. So I know there's a little bit of bait and switch going on here, but just giving the approval, which I saw this was a marketing strategy to have those people who are refusing these vaccines to say, well, I need FDA approval before I even consider it, because as if you would give authorization and some credibility to the FDA, which you should not. So as soon as the FDA comes back and says, well, I've given it approval, well, that's all I need to hear. Now I can take the shot. Of course, we're not buying into that. We know the game, the bait and switch. We know approval doesn't mean anything. It's simply a marketing tactic. Going back to other FDA approvals and failures in history, and there are lots of medications that have been put out. Of course, we see the lawyers on TV all the time saying, have you taken this drug? If you have, well, we're, you know, if injury or death has been caused, we're in your corner. We're going to help you get some money. I remember Phlytium being used, and I remember the short extremities. That was an approved drug by the FDA. It turned out very, very bad. Fen-phen, the dieting drug, turned out very bad. A lot of vegetation on the valves, a lot of heart surgeries, valve replacements. Vioxx taken off for causing heart attacks and strokes, and that's for arthritis. So we have a long list of FDA approvals of failures that the legal department are just cashing in, ka-ching, ka-ching. And so we're supposed to have faith and reliability, first of all, on something we don't need, because most of us, unless you have underlying health problems or comorbidities, we have a very high survivability rate of surviving this disease. And so they still keep it acting like as if this is the plague, it's going to kill everybody. You must take the only solution out there. No early treatments. Forget ivermectin, remdesivir. Forget zinc. Forget about all these other things. The only solution there is the shot, the vaccine. So, like I said, keeping FDA in mind of all their past failures, I'm trying to figure out why Americans, they watch TV, they watch a lot of TV, they see the same commercials I see, the lawyers that are drumming up business for the medications that have gone so terribly wrong, and now you're talking about something that was whipped out in 10 months called warp speed, when a typical vaccine may take 8 to 10 years or 12 years. And your thoughts on that?
It's true. Well, the first thing is Pfizer was not approved on August 23rd. They got a continuation of the EUA. BioNTech, the German company, got conditional approval of their vaccine, which is legally distinct and maybe slightly distinct from the Pfizer vaccine, but that has a lot of post-marketing commitments, including detailed study of myocarditis. In the Comirnaty package insert, lots of wording about pregnancy. Don't know what's going to happen in pregnancy. We can't tell if it's going to cause birth defects, et cetera. Right. So if you read the Comirnaty package insert, there's not a single pregnant woman who should get near that just reading the package insert. Right. But it clearly was a bait and switch. The meeting was designed, I think, to create a false talking point that Pfizer was approved when it wasn't. It's gone all the way up to the President of the United States saying Pfizer was approved and it wasn't. And then the person who signed the letter to Comirnaty, to BioNTech, Dr. Gruber, resigns a week later. So, I mean, you put this all together, this looks like regulatory malfeasance.
Well, isn't it the top of the, I can't remember if it's the CEO, or but the top person in Pfizer himself has said, I haven't taken the vaccine yet because, I don't want to jump to the front of the line. I don't want to keep anybody from getting the shot.
Well, I tell you, I do a lot of work with people in media. I thought Sean Hannity had one of the best answers. Somebody asked, Sean, are you going to take the vaccine? And then he started out by saying, I'm very pro-vaccine. I believe in vaccines. President Trump, Operation Warp Speed. He goes, but my time hasn't come up. And when it does come up, it's a personal decision between me and my doctor and what have you. And he just walked it back. And after I listened to that whole thing, I said, he's not taking the vaccine.
No,
there's many people in media. Listen, I do. Sebastian Gorka came out, and Sebastian goes, listen, I had COVID-19. I took hydroxychloroquine. I got sick. I got better. I'm not taking the vaccine. Dan Ball said the same thing. There are a ton of people in media. I did a show with Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew got sick with COVID-19. He needed a lot of treatment. He got through it. Bad post-COVID syndrome. Dr. Drew, what did he do? He wanted to travel to Europe, and so he took the J&J vaccine, and he developed some complications from the vaccine. I said, Dr. Drew, I even talked to his wife. I said, you don't need the vaccine. You already had COVID. You're recovered. Right. The vaccine can only hurt you. He goes, well, I wanted to show America that I'm pro-vaccine, but I do recognize that I took a risk. I took a risk of taking a vaccine that I didn't need, and then I almost had a complication. He actually, had a threatened, potentially cavernous venous thrombus formation in the brain. So the bottom line is, people need to understand, do not take the vaccine if you have COVID recovered. It cannot benefit you. You can't make yourself more immune, and there's only trouble and complications. And people say, well, I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to be out of school. And I said, there is no job or there's no school or degree that's worth your life, because there's been 13,000 Americans that have died with the vaccine, and it's not worth a permanent injury, of which we're approaching 20,000 permanently injured Americans, over 600,000 severe safety reports, and over 700,000 in the hospital. So even if you took the vaccine and you figure you're going to have some terrible problem like a blood clot and be hospitalized and get through it, is that worth it to keep your job and then have to take a booster 3 months later or 6 months later and go through it again? So everybody thinking about taking the vaccine, you got to think, listen, this is a 3 month to 6 month lifespan that you're buying for yourself, and then you're right back into a booster situation.
Okay, Dr. McCullough, I've got two questions that I want to ask, and then if you need to get running back to the symposium, we totally understand. So I want to hit back. Okay, so just what you mentioned, all these adverse effects, I'm told by people like Ben Shapiro, supposedly conservatives, they're real knowledgeable attorneys with doctor wives. I'm hearing this from doctors, that the incident rate of any adverse effect from from these vaccines are almost non-existent. What are your thoughts there? And then I want to ask you a legislative body question to follow up.
When it comes to safety events in new products, Americans should just demand zero. Let me give you an example. We ask our kids to take the meningococcal vaccine before they go to college every year. Zero deaths. Zero. Zero is what we expect. Zero is what we demand. And the bottom line is, there is no such thing as a rare safety event. We can't say rare because we don't check everybody for it. You see what I mean? So unless you check everybody for it, you can't declare rare. One of the things the CDC and FDA did done is they've said rare. So the bottom line is, at 200 cases of myocarditis and about half of the Americans vaccinated, they said myocarditis is rare. The FDA put a warning that Pfizer and Moderna could cause myocarditis. They had 200 cases in June. How many cases do we have now? Over 5,000. So any declaration of rare at any given time, just give a little bit more time, because more of these complications are going to pour in. So what I say to anybody who says these things are rare, I say no. The safe and conservative thing to do is for a doctor and a patient to consider that this is the tip of the iceberg. And let me tell you, at 200 cases of myocarditis, I didn't like it. I'm a cardiologist. Inflammation in the heart is unacceptable in any product that we give a young person. And to have that 200 times is awful. To have it 5,000 times now is horrendous.
Dr. Okay, McCullough, so, real quick here, if I can ask a question. On the different stages of the myocarditis or pericarditis, how much of a loss in ejection fraction are you seeing with these stages, these levels of myocarditis?
About a quarter in the initial FDA-CDC review had reduced left ventricular ejection fraction, which is the beginning of the development of heart failures. We call it left ventricular dysfunction. And it's reasonable. We have two sets of guidance papers in cardiology on this, that they receive ACE inhibitors and beta blockers to prevent any further loss of heart pumping function and hopefully have the heart pumping function return. Now, there's been a few case reports of kids, frankly, developing heart failure and going on. One sad death in Minnesota of a young African-American gal who developed myocarditis and then needed a heart transplant and passed away afterwards. And then a young man, I believe 13 years old, in South Texas, where he had an autopsy and a death certificate. I had a chance to review. It looked like vaccine myocarditis to my review. We're going to have to see more of these come in. I do not want to see any more kids having us review their cases of fatal myocarditis. This is awful. The kids have no clinical benefit from the vaccine, none.
Right.
And we shouldn't have any children developing myocarditis. Kids need to be going to school and playing sports and developing their lives and not be under the threat of vaccine-induced myocarditis. It's terrible.
Okay, so let me ask a question along the lines of the vaccines. I've heard you become safer and safer the more vaccines you get, meaning the more boosters, it helps you stay safe. And then I've heard on the other side, actually, your chances become worse and worse for these type of issues. What are your thoughts?
Well, this vaccine is pretty clear. This vaccine tricks the body into making the spike protein. Spike protein is very abnormal. It's very dangerous. And then the body forms an immune reaction against the spike protein. Since the spike protein is produced on the cell surfaces of normal human cells, that means the immune attack temporarily attacks our own organs. That's what myocarditis is. That's what the neurologic injuries are. That's what the vaccine-induced thrombocytopenic purpura is. These are now new vaccine injury syndromes that are recognized in the medical literature. What we know is from shot one to shot two on the messenger RNA, there's an 80-fold increased risk in all of these risks. Now, we don't know what shot three is going to carry for individuals, but since it was so bad from shot one to shot two, it's a reasonable inference that shot three is going to be even worse. So I'm extremely worried that we're moving in these shots more closer and closer, and we're going to just keep ramping up side effects and severe organ injury syndromes.
Steve, you want to ask that question?
Yeah, a question I've got also. You got shot one, two, shot three, shoot two and three. You know, initially, I understand how the marketing of this goes. I know how pharmaceuticals work. But they're talking about, the shot is 95.5% effective. Of course, you can throw that decimal point in there to make it look like they really are doing the research to find effectiveness. And we know that's not possible. If you have 95.5% effectiveness, then why are you adding an extra shot, and then a booster? I guess my question to you right now is that booster shot, do we even know what kind of dosage versus one, two, and three? What kind of dose is the booster?
Okay, the vaccines, briefly, Moderna is 100 micrograms of messenger RNA per shot. Pfizer, very similar, is 30 micrograms per messenger RNA shot. So Pfizer is less than a third of the dose of Moderna. So Americans should wonder, that's kind of interesting. And then Johnson & Johnson is a totally different mechanism, adenoviral particles dumping a DNA payload into human cells. So there are three different vaccines. We're 9 months into it. The government has not given us a report card yet. We should have had a report card once a month telling us how the vaccines are doing. At this point in time, there must be a winner, there must be a loser, and there must be somebody in between. So the government won't tell us. Others are trying to look at it. Piernik and colleagues from Mayo Clinic looks like the winner so far is Moderna with over 70% protection and 25,000 Rochester County inhabitants. Pfizer's the loser at 42% protection. The Israelis agree. Pfizer is a loser at 39% protection. And so does the REACT group in England. They have Pfizer at 44% protection. I can tell you, if a vaccine can't get 50% protection and can't last for a year, it's not commercially viable.
Okay, we're going to go to this break, and then we'll be right back with Dr. Jim McCullough.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Talk with John. I am your host, John. Oh my heavens! You know what? This is a privilege being in this chair to be able to speak with people like this. And folks, it's not like I'm a smart man. Steve is. Dr. McCullough are. I graduated with like a 2.0 from high school. So to be amongst two great men such as this, it's a privilege. And I'm sure you folks feel the same way. Dr. McCullough said he's going to be on with us for a little while longer. So if the audience wants to call in with a question, I may take a call or two from the audience. I'm not going to offer a ton because Steve and I have a lot of ground we can cover still. But, Steve, you wanted to ask a question. We've got Dr. Peter McCullough on right now.
Yes.
Steve, fire away with your question.
Yeah, Dr. McCullough, it appears that VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Recording System here, is really not recognized because we've seen drugs in the past that have been pulled from circulation, from distribution because of a certain number of deaths. And I hear the numbers are racking up. And it doesn't appear that the FDA even recognizes this at all. And I don't know how to open their eyes. To me, they've been discredited all the way. We know they're working with the pharmaceuticals. So that's another battle right there. But I guess the question I have for you is, I'm a very observant guy. I'm a pretty smart guy. And I know my mathematics and statisticians. But looking at the entire Congress, of course, trying to sell it to the American people, you know, the Congress decided, well, we're going to get vaccinated. So you have 535 members of Congress who supposedly took the COVID-19 shot. And doing the math, the adverse events that you should have seen or deaths or complications in 535 members of Congress who supposedly took it, we saw none. Zero. No adverse events, no deaths, which means it came down to that's impossible. That's totally impossible. They must have taken a placebo, maybe some normal saline in the vial. They're simply selling the idea that, hey, look, it's safe. The Congress has taken it. They care about themselves. They're self-serving. And we saw no problems with 535 members of Congress. I'm sure this is what happened. What do you think about the placebo effect versus the real stuff being given out there to everybody else?
Believer, I think they took the real deal. And we never know who's going to have one of these terrible events. You know, one of the famous persons who first died with the vaccine was Hank Aaron. Took the vaccine, he had a press release, he felt great, his wife took it, he's a good-looking senior citizen. 17 days later, he's dead. Marvin Hagler, really strong boxer, took the vaccine. A few days later, he's in the hospital, and then he dies. There was a rapper who took the vaccine, and then several days later he died. There was a question of, was he doing drugs or something else? I had the privilege recently, actually, believe it or not, you guys, two nights ago, I had Eric Clapton over at my house for dinner. Eric reached out to me. He's in Dallas. We met. We texted. My wife's a good cook. Eric was on the road. He wanted a good meal, and he was over at my house, and he told me the story. He took the AstraZeneca. And it really worsened his peripheral neuropathy, injured his hearing, and he has tinnitus, and he's had a vaccine injury. And he came out on it, and he said, listen, he said, I made a decision. I took the vaccine. I was, you know, 76 years old, felt vulnerable, and he made a decision. And the bottom line is he understands that the decision can involve a vaccine injury. What Eric is saying is he's saying, listen, people need informed consent, and they need the freedom to decide. They cannot have a vaccine that can cause this level of injuries and have it be forced on them against their will. We can't do that. And, you know, just because everybody in the Congress and the Senate got through it, you know, we wish people who take the vaccine, we wish them well. People in my family took the vaccine. I wish them well. We don't wish vaccine injuries on anybody. And if 168 million people took the vaccine and they didn't have any problems, fine. We have over 600,000 Americans that weren't fine. And that 600,000 Americans, that's a medium-sized city of people now who have been damaged with the vaccine. It's not right.
Yeah.
Do you have another? So
yeah, I saw two videos lately, Dr. McCullough. I don't know if you've seen the videos also, but pharmacists coming forward and videotaping opening up a fresh box of one of the COVID-19 vaccine vials, and they open the box and they pull out the insert. The insert says the name of the pharmaceutical, and then they fold out the huge insert, big giant insert, and it's completely blank. Have you seen that those videos?
It's true. Under emergency use authorization, there is no product label. That means there's no formal disclosure of what's called ISI, or important safety information. And everyone agrees that the package insert, which is a marketing label document for the pharmaceutical, the label does not give the range or and bounds of the use of the product, but it should always give fair disclosure of safety. Americans are not getting full and fair disclosure of safety of the COVID-19 vaccines when they're under EUA.
Got it. Makes sense. Perfect sense.
Okay, so let me just